Chapter 10. The hare gets her name, Duane takes charge, and Major Puff has quite a day. So it was that Major Puff had made the hare's acquaintance first. Neither Duane, nor Cece, nor Handsome, nor Magic had yet laid eyes on her. And although Duane and Handsome met Major Puff back in the autumn, it was a brief meeting and, as you may recall, not altogether friendly. Since then, Duane had been exploring more and more of the very, very far north, including the other side of the river where Major Puff and the hare now shared a burrow. It was on one such walkabout that he crossed the hare's path. Let's begin this story just before that happened. Duane strolled through a meadow made gloriously thick with grasses and wildflowers brightened by the springtime sun. The plants that he recognized he named out loud in Latin, as Cece had taught him from her books. Look, there's sacks of frag and spit on toes. Over here is a bunch of sacks of frag hop, or sit if holy. Duane was, of course, pronouncing the names wrong because they were in Latin, and Latin is hard to pronounce. He should have said saxifraga cespitosa and saxifraga aspitifolia. But between you and me, don't you think it'd be easier if he just said, look, there's this pretty white and yellow flower, and over here is a bunch of basically the same flower, only in purple? Well, I do. However, in the spirit of compromise, Duane will use common names of flowers, and I will add descriptions, so let's start again. Duane strolled through a meadow made gloriously thick with grasses and wildflowers, brightened by the springtime sun. The plants that he recognized he named out loud, describing them as he saw fit. There are some white mountain avens, he said, pointing at flowers with eight creamy white petals surrounding a center of bright yellow filaments. There's a bunch of purple paintbrushes, he said, pointing at flowers that are pretty self-explanatory, I should think. And that is a field of cotton grass, Duane sighed, looking up a gentle slope, densely dotted in puffs of white fur balls and swayed in the breeze. Only it was not cotton grass, or at least not all of the white furry stuff was. Hopping up and down in one spot among the cotton grass was an equally white and furry creature. It was the Arctic hare that currently shared a burrow with Major Puff. 28, said the hare at the top of her 28th hop. 29, she said at the top of her next hop. 30, she said at, well, you get the picture. Between hops 31 and 46, Duane paused to consider. He was reminded of his first encounter with Magic, another small white creature who appeared and disappeared right in front of him. But Magic was trying to trick him, which didn't seem the case with the hare currently hopping up and down. For one thing, she was staying in place and not moving about. For another, she hadn't yet seen Duane because she was facing another direction. 47, she announced at the top of her latest hop. She then spotted Duane as she was coming down, managing to get in a, before disappearing beneath the grass. In a blink, she was rising up again, continuing what she was saying. This repeated over and over each time she was visible. It broke her sentences into small portions. I didn't see you coming. Don't mind me. I'm just getting in my daily deep knee hops. I try to do 100. Good. For the circulation, I am told, just saying. All this she related cheerfully between hops 48 and 58. Duane was delighted to have met someone new in the very, very far north. He attempted a response between hops 61 and 65, but found that the hare's rising and falling was making conversation difficult. Hello to you. Ah, there you are. Do you think you... Oh my. It didn't go as well as he had hoped. Not willing to give up, Duane instead took a different approach. He crouched down in preparation, and then, from hops 70 through 76... he rose up in the air, just as she did, and landed at the same time, too. Hello, my name is Duane. I was wondering if you might stop hopping for a moment, please? That did the trick. 77, declared the hare, concluding her exercise. 77 will do. Not 100, but no point in being a stickler, right? Said your name is Dwayne? Lovely to meet you, Dwayne. Don't have a name, personally. Wish I did. Can see the benefits of having a name, getting one's attention at a distance, personalizing a birthday cake and such. Major Puff calls me Madam. Very courteous, Major Puff. A real gentleman. Madam is nice. Not warm, though, as a name. Not familiar, if you get my meaning. Just saying. Are you two acquainted? Am I sorry? What? Dwayne, who was already dizzy from the jumping, was now finding the hare's quick, clipped way of talking equally unbalancing, not to mention all the twitches and ticks that accompanied her speech. The hare had since moved on to leg stretches and alternate swivels at the waist. Have you met Major Puff? She asked. In his head, Dwayne went through a list of everyone he'd encountered, which wasn't a long list. The name sounds familiar, but I'm not completely sure. Could you describe him? Black and white. Orange beak, my size, more or less. Has wings, that's important. And a marcher. Ooh, yes, very serious about his marching. I'm taking lessons. At which point, the hare stopped her stretching and proceeded to march back and forth, with her very long back feet alternately thrusting high in the air. Oh, yes, Major Puff, Dwayne nodded. Dwayne knew exactly who she meant because he now remembered the incident when Major Puff prevented Handsome from crossing the river. He told the whole story to the hare. So, Major Puff thinks your friend is a great black-backed gull? I'm afraid so. Ooh, that might explain the reluctance. The reluctance? Dwayne asked. The hare clarified with Dwayne, concentrated very hard on understanding her clarification. Doesn't get out much, the Major. Stays close to home, poor dear. I suggested an outing once. Let's cross the river, I said. Have a picnic. Get some air. Picnics are nice, don't you think? An excursion. And a nibble. A break in the routine, just saying. Well, the Major was strongly against it. Concerned about traps and ambushes. Silly, really. Having wings and all. Could fly over traps if he wanted. Still, not one to judge. Not one to throw carrots, lest you want carrots thrown at you, if you get my meaning. Dwayne didn't get her meaning, or several of the other bits either, but he did get the gist of what she was saying, which was that Major Puff was not venturing far from their burrow because he was afraid of Handsome. Major Puff was still under the impression that Handsome was a great black-backed gull, which Handsome definitely was not. Therefore, Major Puff was preventing himself from living his life based on a fear of an enemy he hadn't yet battled. From Dwayne's point of view, that was a shame. He thought that Handsome and Major Puff shared common qualities and might become good friends under the right circumstances. We need Major Puff to meet Handsome properly, said Dwayne. He has to be convinced that Handsome is a musk ox. Ooh, could be a problem, said the hare, shaking her head. If the Major has never met a musk ox while in sight of a great black-backed gull, he has nothing to compare, you see. Dwayne nodded. The hare was right. As CC once explained, some facts need to be demonstrated in order to be believed. Thinking of CC gave Dwayne an idea. How does Major Puff feel about owls? He asked as a plan started taking shape. Respects them, yes. No issue with owls, as far as I know. The next morning, Dwayne swam over to the shipwreck to pay CC a visit. As usual, he found her in the windowed room at the back, conducting experiments for the advancement of knowledge toward the benefit of all. Do you have a picture of a great black-backed gull in one of your books, Cece? A great black-backed gull. She thought and thought, yet could not say for sure whether there was such a picture. Neither stymied nor frustrated, the owl's eyes grew a half size bigger, and she let out a squeak of excitement. You see, it was a rare occasion when Duane came to her with a question that required research. Cece loved research. Methodically, she began leafing through the pages of her book. When one book had been scrutinized from front to back, Duane would remove it and set another one on the table in front of her. It took the whole morning until she finally stopped and say, "Aha!" Duane stood beside her and looked down at the spot she was pointing to on the page. "Is that a great black-backed gull?" "It is indeed," said Cece with a touch of pride. "You're sure?" Duane asked. Cece studied Duane's face. Although she wasn't good with expressions and feelings, she had an inkling of a suspicion of a feeling that there was something more to Duane's request. "Why is it so important that I be sure that it's a great black-backed gull, Duane the polar bear?" "Because I need you to dress up as one," Duane replied. As you can imagine, an explanation was in order. And an explanation was given. Thereafter, Duane left the shipwreck with two of Cece's books, having promised solemnly to take the most absolute best care of them so that they'd return to her in the exact same condition that they left. In the afternoon, Duane searched out his friend, the Arctic Fox. "Magic, I need you to help me play a trick." "Yes?" Magic shouted with glee, not caring in the least what the trick was or upon whom it was to be played. "It's going to be great, Duane." "The best, Duane." "They will never see it coming, Duane." Magic's enthusiasm did not give Duane comfort. He realized that the rules would need to be established from the start. He looked at Magic with the most serious expression and he could produce. "No one is to be hurt or injured or even bruised." "Huh?" said Magic, much less happily. "No one is to be made to look foolish." "Really?" asked Magic, slightly confused. "And no one is to be made terribly scared either." "Oh, come on," yelled Magic, throwing herself upon the ground dramatically. "Not even scared? What's the point then?" Duane could see that he was losing Magic's interest, and in all honesty, he couldn't guarantee the last rule would be kept if his plan was to work. "Well, he might be scared," he began. "It's possible that he would be a little scared, or more than a little. In fact, it's possible he might become very scared at one or two moments. But in the long run, I think it will be for the benefit of all. Would you be willing to assist me?" Magic was up on her paws in a second. "You had me at might be scared, Duaney Duane." And with that, Duane explained to Magic what he had in mind and what he needed her to do. In the evening, Duane met up with the hares back at the meadow to go over the details of the plan. "Tomorrow morning, come to the river's edge, where the stepping stones are," he instructed her. "River's edge, stepping stone, understood. Which side?" "Which side?" asked Duane. "Of the river," the hare explained. "Remembered the story. Your friend, Handsome, was it? Didn't like the stones, crossing them and all? Made him dizzy? So best meet on your side, just saying. Not a fan of rivers myself. Strong currents, sneaky waterfalls, nasty ways to get hurt. But I won't object if it's for Major Puff. The greater good and such. A half dozen hops and it's done. So, tomorrow morning, river's edge, your side." Duane marveled at how the hare recalled all the details of Handsome's river crossing and was willing to ignore her own fears in the assistance of Handsome and Major Puff. She may jolt and jerk and speak in bits, but you can't say she isn't truly listening. As the hare turned to hop back to the burrow, Duane had an inspiration. It was risky, but Duane was in a risky frame of mind since taking charge of his plan. "How about Twitch?" The hare turned around and tilted her head to one side. "You told me yesterday that you wanted a name. Something personal. How about Twitch?" The hare paused to think it through out loud. "Twitch is something I do. Won't deny that. Do other things too. Mine. Hop. Bake. March. Wouldn't want to be called Hop or Bake. No ring to them, to my ears. No music. And not right to be called March. Stepping on the major's toes then, so to speak. Twitch is personal. Has humor in it. Could hear myself being called Twitch. What's that you've got baking? Twitch? That sort of thing?" The hare suddenly stopped. She looked straight at Duane, as still and solid as an iceberg, and he could feel her formidable strength within the question she asked next. "You are not laughing at me, are you?"
"Not at all. You said that you'd like a name that was warm and personal. I'm laughing with you, not at you, but only if you like that."
At first, the hare said nothing. Duane wondered if his risk-taking had gone too far, until... "Twitch it is, then," the hare nodded before heading home, "and Twitch it will be from here on out." Early the next morning, Duane awoke, ready to put the plan into action. He ate a quick breakfast to fortify himself before venturing down the hill to Handsome's Field, where the musk ox stood sleeping next to the reflection pond. "Handsome, come quick!" Duane yelled.
What?
Snort. Did someone... Duane, why are you here? I'm confused. Poor Handsome. He'd been dreaming of a fancy ceremony for the Most Attractive Musk Ox Award, and just as he was about to receive first place statuette, Duane came barging on stage. Duane, of course, could not know that this was Handsome's dream, and even if he did, it would not matter. For Duane, it was best if Handsome was off balance and not quite awake. "Handsome, there is a hare emergency that needs your attention."
"What did you say? A hare emergency? Oh, my, how horrible."
"I should explain to those of you who are presently reading to... rather than those of you reading this by yourself, that the Duane said a hare, H-A-R-E, emergency, as in an argument situation involving a rabbit-like creature such as Twitch. But Handsome thought that Duane said a hare, H-A-I-R, emergency. That involved filaments such as fur or fuzz or wool or whatever grows off one's skin. Duane did not attempt to correct the misunderstanding because Duane knew how important grooming was to Handsome. If his friend should think that he was talking about a hair, H-A-I-R, situation, so be it, for it would generate the urgency needed to get to the next part of the plan. Duane continued explaining with as much dramatic flair as he imagined magic could use. "There's a creature, small and innocent. Her fur is very soft and delicate." "Yes, go on," insisted Handsome, already caught up in the description. "She's ensnarled in a tangle of weeds. They're caught within her fur, and she cannot escape, Handsome."
"Oh my," gasped the musk ox in near shock. "The poor dear, the damage that those weeds must be doing to her follicles. I shudder to think."
"I wanted to help, Handsome. I wanted to free her of those terrible thorny weeds, but I did not feel up to the task." Handsome, now fully awake, addressed his friend in a most solemn tone of voice. "You did well to call upon me, Duane. No amateur should attempt a weed extraction. One wrong move and a patch of fur might be ripped straight out. Fetch my hairbrush. We must go to this poor creature's aid at once." So focused was Handsome on the rescue mission that he didn't even hesitate as they neared the river, even though he had nothing but bad memories of the place. Was it
a relief for him to find the creature in peril located on his side of the river? I cannot say for sure. He may very well have crossed the stepping stones anyway when the matter involved emergency grooming. Prior to Handsome and Duane's arrival, Twitch had made her way across the river to place herself among the thicket of weeds. Just as planned, she made sure that the weeds wrapped around her legs and ears so that she looked completely trapped. When she caught sight of Duane and the musk ox companion, she declared out loud her woeful situation. "Help me! Trapped I am!" Not comfortable, all brambly and such, very scratchy, and prickly too, just saying. "Fear not, madam," said Handsome, coming quickly forward. "Her name is Twitch, actually," Duane whispered. "Ah, well then, fear not, Twitch. I shall free you at once. It is a delicate operation. Try to stay calm and still and, well, less twitchy." Handsome took the hairbrush from Duane and began to meticulously clear away the weeds from Twitch's fur. His concentration was impressive, as was his brushing skill. Meanwhile, on the other side of the river, Magic had arrived just outside the burrow belonging to Major Puff and Twitch. Quietly, she cleared her throat and did a few limbering up exercises in preparation for her task. She moved next to the burrow's door, took a deep breath, and let out a bone-chilling scream at the top of her lungs. Magic was so loud that she didn't hear the thump of Major Puff's head hitting the burrow ceiling when he jumped up in a fright. Magic then recited the speech she had practiced with all the dramatic flair that Duane had attempted earlier. "Oh, who will save her? Who will save the defenseless Arctic hare about to be attacked and perhaps eaten by that fiend?" Her performance was both powerful and convincing. Major Puff, who, after hearing the blood-curdling scream, thought he was under attack, had pushed up against the door to block any burrow breach. But as soon as he heard mention of an Arctic hare, he rushed up and down all the burrow tunnels in search of Twitch, whom he, of course, could not find. "My goodness," Major Puff fretted. "Madame is in peril." He pulled open the burrow door and marched outside where Magic was positioned with paw to forehead, mouth agape, trembling in fear, wobbly. "Thanks, thank goodness someone heard my cry." "Where is she? Where is Madame? And who dares attack her?" demanded Major Puff. "She is yonder, by the river's edge," replied Magic, a little too flowery in my opinion. "But what vile creature attacks her? I know not. It's large and horrible. Its back is black and such claws. Who will save her?" Magic collapsed to the ground in a dead faint and tried not to giggle. As for Major Puff, the description of Twitch's attacker was clearly understood. After his harrowing ordeal back in autumn, and after the necessary migration that was not in any way a holiday that followed, he returned to the very, very far north, realizing his enemy was still at large. Yes, he had made a friend in Twitch, but in the recent weeks he hadn't strayed far from the burrow, fearing the unfinished war to come. In his own estimation, he had behaved cowardly, but not now. Now, something was different. Major Puff's eyes narrowed in steely determination. "So, we shall meet again, great black-backed gull. Attack Madame, will you? Not on my watch." In the recorded annals of Puffin military campaigns, never did a Puffin march into battle with such dignified grit. How his feet lifted in perfect form, the rhythm of his steps never faltered, never slowed. Major Puff almost pitted his enemy, who knew not what was coming. Marching across the meadow, down its gentle slope, leaving a swath of purple paintbrushes and cotton grass in his wake, he pushed forward to the river. There in the distance, Twitch laid on the far side, while just beneath her loomed the great black-backed gull, with one of its claws brushing down upon her back. "Unclaw her!" Major Puff shouted across the river. Handsome looked up from his brushing and weed untangling, first in surprise and then annoyance. "Oh, it's you again," Handsome said in a low, snooty voice. "I have no time for your nonsense. This poor creature is in trouble." "Don't I know it? Lower your claw!"
"My what?" asked Handsome.
"This!
It's called a brush. At least, that is what it's called by those of us who are civilized."
The black and white puffin turned red in the face. "Your taunts do not hurt me. Let this battle begin."
By this point, Twitch was feeling slightly guilty. She should have said something to calm Major Puff's nerves, but the truth was, all that brushing of her fur felt wonderful. It left her in a blissful daze and completely speechless. Major Puff interpreted her silence to mean she was perhaps near death.
"I shall save you from this great black-backed gull, madam," he cried as he hopped across Three River Rocks.
"Again with the great black-backed gull? Do I have wings? How many times must I tell you that I am a muskox?"
Handsome shouted at the charging puffin. "If there is anyone likely to be a great black-backed gull, my guess is it's whatever that is."
Handsome was now pointing up in the sky. Major Puff followed his direction and saw something that caused him much confusion, followed quickly by fear. Swooping down upon him, with sharp talons thrusting out, was a large bird covered mainly in white feathers, except for its back, which was decidedly black. Its beak was long and yellow. Its eyes were small and beady. Immediately, the description of the puffin's nation's most notorious enemy, as handed down from one puffin generation to the next, flooded Major Puff's memory. The thing flying above him did meet the description very well. So he'd been wrong in assuming that the large creature now attacking Twitch was a great black-backed gull. Was that creature indeed a muskox, as it claimed? And was that, in fact, a brush it held and not a claw? Major Puff had to concede that it was, on both accounts. Under different circumstances, a puffin of his integrity would have immediately apologized to Handsome. This, however, had to be put off until later due to the actual great black bull snatching him mid-flight and lifting him by its talons high into the air.
"Unhand me, dastardly villain," Major Puff demanded. "Unhand me right now."
These were brave words, without a doubt, shouted up at an enemy much larger and much stronger. Yet, even within the mighty clutch of the great black-backed gull's talons, which left him powerless as he was flown through the air, Major Puff couldn't help but notice that up close, his enemy looked much less impressive. For one thing, the black of its beak was splotchy, as if the feathers had been painted. For another thing, its long yellow beak seemed to be attached to its head by a string that tied onto the bow at the back. And as for the beady eyes, in truth, they looked like holes cut out of a mask. "I must be delirious," Major Puff thought to himself. "All this excitement has made me dizzy. No matter. As long as Madame is safe." The chivalrous puffin lost himself in imagining his heroic death, unaware that the great black-backed gull had descended from the sky. Its talons opened, and Major Puff was released. He fell, but only briefly. The large, open arms of Dwayne were there to receive him.
"Hello again, Major Puff," Dwayne said, smiling. Gently he lowered the puffin to the ground. Already gathered in front of the polar bear and the puffin were Magic, Handsome, and Twitch. As you can imagine here, too, an explanation was in order. To assist Dwayne in explaining, he brought over the two books belonging to Cece and turned to the pages that showed the illustrations and descriptions of both the great black-backed gull and the muskox.
From that point on, there was never any confusion in Major Puff's mind as to who was which. He turned to Handsome and apologized sincerely and humbly. "Think nothing of it," replied Handsome, quite moved. "Your eloquent words proved you are a puffin of good breeding. I look forward to future conversations. Expect an invitation in the mail." "Well, all's well that ends well," Twitch beamed. "The Major's got a friend. I've got a name. Happy campers, each and every, tickled pink, over the moon, five hops forward, no hops back, if you get my meaning." No one did get Twitch's meaning exactly, but they all understood that there was now a larger group of friends, which left everyone feeling a buzz of excitement for the possibilities that might follow. Twitch accompanied Major Puff back to the burrow, where a quiet cup of tea was in order after such a harrowing morning. Magic disappeared before anyone could notice. The excitement of playing a trick generated more energy than she knew what to do with. Cece was back on the shipwreck. She'd already removed the mask and untied the yellow beak that she'd made with paint and scrap pieces lying about. More challenging was scrubbing off the black paint that she'd applied to her black back feathers. She would continue to wash until they were completely white again while she awaited the return of her two books. As for Dwayne, he was carrying those books carefully while walking alongside Handsome, who required some more explanation. "So you're telling me, Dwayne, that Twitch did not actually require emergency grooming?" "No, Handsome, I confess that was a trick." "I'm somewhat perturbed. Are we not friends? Why did you not simply ask me to join you at the river?" "Would you have come to the river if I had asked?" Handsome paused to consider. He had to concede that if asked, he would have most definitely said no. "Point taken, Dwayne. And when you're planning on telling the Major that the great black bull-backed gull is Cece?" "Soon," said Dwayne. It seemed like a lot to throw at him all at once. And besides, he did not act very heroically today. He should be allowed to have his moment. "Agreed," Handsome nodded. Etiquette demands such considerations. The two friends parted company at Handsome's field. But before Dwayne could go home to his cave, he did have to return Cece's books in the exact same condition that they were when he borrowed them. So it was better done sooner than later. As he walked down the sloping trail that led past the berry bushes and the tasty grasses, and finally spilled out onto the fabulous beach, Dwayne had time to reflect on all that had happened. There were now two new friends in his life to get to know. His gift of Twitch's name was well received. He could see that Major Puff and Handsome would no longer be at odds. There was also a great story for all the friends to share with one another every now and again, each telling it from his or her point of view. Dwayne was proud of himself, too. He put together a complicated plan and was able to convince his friends to take part. He accomplished something for the benefit of others. It was a good day.